What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. It's episode 488, and across the screen, or the world, however you want to say it, is my trusty co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm feeling like, I don't know about you, it's always nice and sunny San Diego, so I can't really,
yeah,
you know, it's all the same for you, but it's like feeling kind of nice today weather-wise.
I remember that feeling when I lived
pumped for like summertime, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I lived back on the East Coast and you're getting out of the winter and spring is coming and you start feeling it. And I always knew, because hockey playoffs are going to be starting, and like when the hockey playoffs start, it's like,
you know, it's getting,
you know, yeah, getting spring and summer's coming. So, well, that's exciting for you. Yeah. I enjoyed a nice sunset last night on the water, nice, in San Diego. Always you have to come. You have to, I figured you'd, what, I you know, should come for a Comic-Con or one of the things.
One of these years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I've been driving past this comic book store. I know you're into comic books, so.
Yeah. Maybe CES next year I'll come out early or something.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, actually. Because our good friend Andy from eTechnics.com did that, and he stayed in San Diego for a couple days, and then we went to CES, did all CES, and then came back for another day. Yeah, we could do that. We could get you out hiking, get you outside, do all the fun stuff, you know?
That'd be cool. For sure.
But this week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends over at ASRock and their new Steel Legend Platinum Series power supply. So they actually have three. They have their SL1200P, their SL1000P, and their SL850P. And these are actually really, really good. I got a sneak peek of these at CES earlier this year. 80 Plus Platinum, Cybernetics Platinum, ATX 3.1 and PCI Express 5.1 ready, fully modular, so you don't have to worry about cable mess or anything like that. And these aren't like, sometimes, like, they're nice and compact. So if you do have a case that has like a size limit when it comes to ATX power supplies, these, like I said, are you know, nice and compact size, 135 millimeter fan in there, 10-year warranty too. So 10-year warranty on these.
It's a long time.
Yeah, so if you want peace of mind, you're going to get it with these. And again, if you're running high-end hardware, like something like a 5090, a 5080, this also has the connector that lets you know everything is connected with the color there. So again, you'll know if it's not connected properly, and that's going to, of course, you know, save you your graphics card. And it also has the cable over temperature protection as well. So again, if the sensor reads a certain temperature, it will cut off the power, which is good. So it will actually save your graphics card, which is definitely good there as well. If you want to learn more, go to thinkcomputers.org/platinum, and that will give you all the information on those power supplies. They also have other platinum power supplies in their Phantom gaming line. But these Steel Legend ones are actually quite nice. And again, I feel like ASRock's the only brand that is doing their product lines across the board. For instance, Asus, right? They have their ROG Thor power supplies. Like, that's ROG Thor, right? But with ASRock, you know, you have Steel Legend motherboard. You have Steel Legend graphics card. You have Steel Legend power supply. You have Steel Legend AIO, which you just reviewed. So, like, it's all across the board. So, like, if you wanted to do a Steel Legend build,
you're a long way to it, yeah.
Yeah, so I really like that. I really like that ASRock is doing that across the board. And because you know those product segments really well, you know what you're getting when you're buying a Steel Legend or a Phantom Gaming. Like, you kind of know, or like at the high end, the Tai Chi, like, you just know those segments. So I really like that ASRock is doing that. So again, thinkcomputers.org/platinum. We thank them for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Now, we do have a lot of talk about this week. I went to a really cool event, actually an ASRock event with Intel. So we're going to talk about that. Ryan and I both took a look at CPU coolers from MSI. If you don't know or couldn't guess, Ryan reviewed the liquid one. I reviewed the air one. So we have some pretty cool coolers from MSI. There was a leaked NVIDIA N1 laptop PCB that has 128 gigabytes of memory on it. So that's a nice little preview of what NVIDIA might have in store for their SoC, their laptop SoC that we've been talking about for at least a couple years now. So we have that, some news on Microsoft and their AI stuff. So a lot of gaming news this week as well. And if you guys did want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that's right here that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So if you did want to, you know, reference something later, you can definitely go ahead and do that. Or again, if we talk about something and you want to learn more, you can click through to all of the articles and reviews and everything like that. So let's start with that MSI air cooler that I took a look at. So this was their Mag Core Frozer AA13. And currently, like, I know MSI made air coolers in the past, like a while back, but currently, as like what they show on their website, this is currently the only air cooler that they're offering right now. And this is set to be an entry-level cooler. It's under $25 right now. So
wow,
it's going to very much compete with the Cooler Master Hyper 212 and some of the other entry-level air coolers. And I think for most people, an entry-level air cooler will get the job done, especially if you're running a mid-range CPU without, you're not doing overclocking, you're just running it at stock settings. I think entry-level cooler will do the job just fine. And there's definitely a market for it because we know how, like, everybody knows the Hyper 212. Like, everybody's used the Hyper 212 in the past, and that's why entry-level coolers are so good. Because again, why spend $75, $80 on a cooler when you don't really need it? And then that can go towards, you know, especially these days, memory and other things like that. So this cooler is quite simple. There's not much in the box. You're going to get the fan, the heatsink, and then your mounting hardware. That's it. The instructions are QR code. Ryan and I aren't fans of this, maybe because we're old, but we're not fans of the QR code. I like having a physical installation guide, but it's right there if you need help getting this installed. This is incredibly easy to get installed as well. Now, I put the fan on for our photos here, but this is a pretty small single fan, single tower cooler, 152 millimeters in height, meaning that it's going to pretty much fit in any ATX case. We usually see a cutoff at 100 in like the thinner cases as far as ATX usually are 155 millimeters for your CPU cooler. So this is going to fit pretty much in any of those cases. It's 120 millimeter fan on the front. It's MSI's Cyclo Blade 7 fan. As you can see, like most fans on coolers these days, it has the outer frame that's actually connected to the fan blades. It's going to be better for bringing air into that heatsink and all of that. And this is an ARGB fan. Pretty thin heatsink here. This is an aluminum heatsink, 50 fins on there. And like I said, it's pretty simple. We have four heat pipes here that go up into the heatsink tower in a U fashion, which is pretty standard. These are direct touch heat pipes. So if you're not familiar with that, it's essentially they bring the heat pipes down into the base and essentially shave them off. So those heat pipes actually make direct contact with your CPU. For the longest time, there was like fights online about what is better, having like a CPU base or having the direct touch. Nobody knows. But we see a lot of these. And you can see that we do have pre-applied thermal paste here. Which I feel for this level of cooler is good. Entry level is usually first time builders and things like that. And for this type of cooler, I think having the pre-installed thermal paste is good. The only thing I didn't like, which Ryan has talked about as well, that there's not extra in the box, which again comes down to cost and things like that. But like I said, pre-applied thermal paste there. And again, you can look at those direct touch heat pipes as well. So yeah, we have A Turbo in the chat. Good afternoon. It's getting into the evening for us. So good to see you here in the live chat. And then, of course, the top just has the MSI logo on there. And this is just etched into the top fin here. It's not light up or anything like that. It's just the MSI Dragon logo.
Is it white or is it like kind of a gold color?
It's
it,
like...
Oh, it's etched, so it's silver? Like it's,
yeah, silver color. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And as far as installation goes, this is so simple. So I did my installation on an AM5 motherboard. Really, really easy. So you remove the AM5 or the AMD mounting brackets on each side of your CPU socket. Then by default, they ship this with the Intel mounting hardware on. You have to remove that. It's just four screws. So here it is with that Intel hardware taken off. Put on the AMD hardware. Again, just four screws. And then all you have to do is just line the cooler up and then just screw it in with the screws right there. Super simple. Shouldn't take you long at all. More than enough room to do this with your motherboard mounted inside your system. Of course, we do all of our installation outside the system just to show you guys, but super simple. You have a 100% RAM clearance as well. And then, of course, you want to make sure you plug in your CPU fan header as well as the 3-pin ARGB. There's no controller included with this, so any of the lighting control, you're going to want to have to use your motherboards or any other ARGB controller that you have, their software or some type of control to change the lighting on the fan itself. And that ARGB connection is a daisy chain one. So if you have multiple things, you can connect this to your motherboard and then connect other things to it as well. And here is what it looks like installed. As you can see, doesn't take up much space at all in our system. And then our lighting here again, the lighting is just on the center of the fan, but again, it gets illuminated around the fan. So it gives you some extra bling in your system, which I think a lot of people, again, in that entry-level category will definitely appreciate. So again, that's what our system looks like. As far as testing goes, this did quite well. Again, this is entry-level, and a lot of these coolers here are like bigger coolers. The one that we wanted to really look at as far as comparison is the Cooler Master Hyper 212 3D heat pipe. And you can see at idle, right around the same temperature, getting into load, it actually is the same temperature as the Cooler Master. And then our second load, it is just a temperature worse than the Cooler Master. And then as far as noise levels, being that it is a single fan, it's not all that loud at all. I would say this is essentially on par with the Cooler Master Hyper 212 3D HP that we took a look at. And for the price, it's $25. Like,
yeah, that's pretty sweet.
It's not all that expensive at all. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award. So if you're doing a build and you're just looking for that entry-level cooler, this one, like I said, has the ARGB lighting. It's quiet. It's super easy to install. And for like first-time builders, like it does have pre-applied thermal paste, which I think, again, if you are a first-time builder, that's definitely nice. Yep. And because it's such a small cooler and like easy to install, I especially like compared to like AIOs, which Ryan takes a look at, like you're not going to put it down and then pick it back up. Like you're going to put it down and like
And those are usually... I presume it had like a plastic cap that was like held on by the Intel hardware, right? So it's like, it's almost impossible to screw it up with that situation. So while we like to have an extra syringe, it may make sense in this case.
Yeah. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, you're not going to get insane performance or anything like that out of it, but it will definitely do the job. And I, like I said, no physical installation guide because we're old over here. So yeah. And then Ryan took a look at another cooler, the MagCore Liquid A12-240. And this is the first 240 that we've taken a look at in a while.
I don't even think since I've worked for you that I've looked at a 240 millimeter.
But I'd like
I have, but I mean this is like probably 8 years ago.
So. Yeah, and I think the reason is because like again, most ATX cases support 360.
Right.
And but like 240 definitely has a place, especially certain cases that like only have a little bit of space, and not even like tiny cases, but there are some cases where it's like a 240 may make more sense in some scenarios, I think.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And another piece that I like is like, if we standardize on 360s, you can kind of look at those graphs and not really have to worry about, oh, there's a 240 that snuck in there, right? And we do have them all listed with names in the graphs so that it is visible. But just having kind of a standard there is helpful as well. But yeah, I took a look at the MAG Core Liquid A12 240, a 240 millimeter all-in-one cooler. And MSI has actually, like, you mentioned they only have like the one air cooler right now. They've got a ton of liquid coolers available, like so many designs, sizes, colorways.
And there's ones that we saw at, or that I saw at CES that aren't even out yet.
Yeah, there's more on the way, right? And I have another one that just showed up earlier this week, right? Yeah. So we got more coming for you. But what that essentially means is like they're going to span a range of entry level to top tier, you know, with your LCD screens and all sorts of extra features that you might expect. This one is on the like beginner / entry level as far as features and creature comforts, things like that go. So let's just jump kind of right into it. It does come with all of the necessary mounting hardware, like always for current Intel and AMD systems. It does come with a tube of thermal paste, which is great, but it's also not pre-applied to the bottom of the pump block, so just keep in mind you've got to apply it there, but they do give you a tube of thermal paste, which is great, and all the extra accessories. Now, one thing that they included in here, which I thought was pretty unique, was actually if you're going to use the there's a Y cable connector for the fans. I'll talk about this more in a minute. They actually included kind of like a step down cable in order to quiet down the fans if you were just running them like on a non-PWM connection. So I thought that was kind of cool because it allows, they've got an adapter in there also to use like a Molex to, which I hadn't seen in a long time. I was actually surprised that they included it in there because that's kind of like an older like way of doing things. But I just thought it was interesting that they included some of that hardware in here. But as far as the cooler goes, really pretty much a standard all-in-one cooler design. Again, 240 millimeter radiator. We've got this like circular design with the pump housing and everything. Standard 27 millimeter thick radiator. It does have a fin per inch density of 21 fins per inch, just right in line with kind of that 20 to 21, 22 fin per inch density. So you're going to have great airflow through this. Which is always important, right? You don't want your fans pushing real hard or struggling to push air through the radiator to keep things cool. Standard EPDM cooling lines. They're flexible enough. They're long enough, but they did seem almost like kind of twisted. And if you've ever like messed with AIOs, I think you're using an AIO right now. Sometimes it's almost like the tubes are put on crooked or something and you have to like really finesse them sometimes, or you get it installed and it just, I don't know, it's kind of funky, and you'll see that in the pictures, but it doesn't affect the performance at all by any means. Again, here's a look at that pump housing, just kind of a cylinder design. We've got an ARGB lighting zone on the top underneath this kind of like smoked clear plastic cap with some radial pattern designs underneath. And of course that MSI Dragon logo that I love right in the middle.
Yeah.
For that, there's another shot of it there. I do like this radial like pattern look.
Yeah, that is kind
of
the center.
It's kind of a cool look there. We just have a single three pin power connector for the pump, so it's not PWM control over the pump. So another, you know, and that's kind of goes back to that entry level, and we'll get to this later, but budget price of this cooler, right? You don't have to, you know, have the extra cost of those sensors and everything for a PWM type device on this here. And then of course we have the three pin ARGB cable coming out of there as well for the lighting. Solid copper base on the bottom, pretty standard for MSI coolers. And then we have two 120 millimeter ARGB fans here. And what I found was pretty crazy is these have up to 90, almost 95 CFM of airflow, which is super high. Unfortunately, they don't give us any specs for the pressure that they can produce, right? The air pressure is really what we want to focus on when trying to move air through a radiator. Unfortunately, they don't give us any of that information, but these move just a ton of air in general, which is kind of crazy, at their top speed of 2200 RPM. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting number there for these types of fans. They do have rubber pads on the corners to reduce vibrations when running, especially at high levels, or you get these like resonant tones going at certain RPMs, helps reduce any noise coming from that. Installing super easy. Now, Bob mentioned this. I'm going to mention it. No manual with this cooler. And yours was on the outside of the box, it looked like, in the picture you showed. This one is under the flap of the box, and it's on the side. It's not like prominent or anything, so you would almost miss it, and which I found frustrating. What I also found frustrating was I was like, I'm not going to scan it. I'm not going to look at it on my phone. I'm just going to pull it up on my computer. Well, you go to the product page. You go to like the support, which is where they usually are. There's no product manual on the website or installation for this component. The only thing there is like regulatory PDF that just shows you like the regulatory information about it, which is really frustrating. It's not hard to install, but if you're a new installer or a beginner, you're going to want those instructions, and they're just not convenient. So another inconvenient kind of piece that again goes to the budget price point of this cooler. One of those creature comforts that isn't there is the fans are not pre-installed from the factory. So you do have to install fans in whichever orientation you need when installing. Not a big deal, but it's just, I've gotten so used to all these coolers that come with fans installed. I was like, you mean I've got to put eight screws into this thing? I'm spoiled. The fans are also not daisy chainable for their PWM connections. They're just a straight 4-pin cable coming off of them. Thankfully, the ARGB cables are daisy chainable, so that helps a bit. But they do include a Y connector for those PWM cables so that you can at least use a single motherboard header to connect.
Oh, okay, so you're not.
So that is nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just some extra work you've got to do and some extra cable management.
Yeah.
Just like the air cooler Bob was looking at, got to pull off the stock AMD hardware, put on some standoffs there that utilize the motherboard CPU backplate. And then you just use these spring-loaded screws to hold the cooler in place. Now, this does come with Intel and AMD hardware, like I mentioned. And those are just kind of brackets that slide off the side and back on. You don't have to unscrew anything. Just slide them off and back on, depending on what you need. But I really like how it looks lit up as well, right? You've got a couple RGB zones there. I like the kind of color transition I had got in a couple of these shots. Just looks pretty decent in there. Now, this shot kind of shows some of that cable tangle I was talking about, where it's just kind of like funky looking, and I don't know if it was just kind of twisted from the factory or what, but didn't affect performance at all. So speaking of performance, idle wise, this thing does great. It performs really well all the way through our fan speeds, right? Again, this is comparing 360 millimeter coolers to this 240 millimeters. So you got to keep that in mind with these graphs. And while at idle, it's kind of like mid-range. Again, it's a smaller cooler, right? It doesn't have as much capacity to soak up that heat and transfer heat and get it away from that CPU as a 360. So once we get a load on it, it does show kind of its weakness compared to a 360 and does kind of top out our charts all the way down across pretty much all of our fan speeds here. It's either at the top or tied for the top temperature all the way across when we put a load on this. And really, again, it just doesn't have that capacity to cool the CPU like a 360 does. So, and then once we get over to loading up not only the CPU, but the FPU portion of the chip as well, it just doesn't have the capacity to cool and sits either at the top or tied for the top temperatures. Not to say that it wasn't like performant and working, it just doesn't have the capacity to cool like those 360s do. So noise wise, those fans are loud. At the lowest speed, they're the loudest fans. Mid-range speeds are kind of in the middle. And then towards the top, they do get kind of loud. And you got to remember, this is two fans, not three, that are producing noise. So they're pretty loud, to be honest. In the end, though, we come down to kind of like pricing is what really makes this a great cooler option for those entry level builds. Plus it's performance, right? You saw in the graphs, it's keeping up with the 360s. It's not going to beat most of them, but it's not like even on just regular load, it was not able to keep it cool. It was able to do so, just not as cool as the 360s. For a $70 cooler, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10, right? It's got good idle and load performance in relation to 360 millimeter coolers that it's up against. It's got some ARGB lighting. It's got the budget pricing. The things I didn't like, the fans aren't connected from the factory, right? You can't daisy chain the power on them, so you got to use that Y adapter. It's a loud fan operation, and the manual isn't included and not on the product page. I still gave it the 8, though, because of how it did perform compared to a lot of those 360s. So I think it's like, if you're looking for something to fit into a smaller case, like you said, maybe an micro ATX case, not a mini ITX, but a micro ATX, or something that just needs a 240 radiator, this might be a good option if you don't want something with like a screen or more advanced features.
Yeah. So. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everybody go ahead and check out Ryan's review. I always like to see like how does, you know, because again, we always take a look at 360s, like how does a 240 do or even right. a 280 do in comparison? So it's good. And we have another 240 coming down the line as well.
Yeah.
To see, you know, see how that does. So yeah, that wraps up reviews for this week. Like I said, I went to an ASRock event at the Newegg Gamer Zone, which is recently opened, and this is sort of like an event space that Newegg has set up for brands to come in and hold events and hold gaming tournaments and things like that. And I had planned to go to the grand opening of this, and I couldn't. But it was cool that I got to go for this event through ASRock, and they were showing some motherboards as well as their AIOs and systems that were like almost fully all ASRock. Like it was like ASRock motherboard, ASRock AIO, ASRock power supply, you know, and ASRock graphics card, like almost everything in these systems were all ASRock, which was really cool. I got the game on one of those systems, but at this event, they had this motherboard that we talked about, which was their Z890 Tai Chi 10th anniversary. And this is very much the same board as their Z890 Tai Chi, but they've changed the styling on it with this like pretty cool heatsink here, which is, it's kind of hard to see from the pictures, but we have a video on social media that you can check out that really shows how reflective it is and stuff like that. So that was really cool to see, you know, just like how reflective it is and how cool it is. I still think for like their Tai Chi 10th anniversary, they could have done something a little bit more crazy, but it was definitely cool to see this board in person because it was kind of like that elusive board that like nobody really knew about. And they told us that they don't know if they're even going to release it. It might just be like a show board. So
interesting.
Not sure if you'll be able to pick one of these up or not. We'll obviously keep you updated when we know more. I also got to see the Z890 Tai Chi Aqua. Ryan might like this board because this board has the built-in cooling channels for your VRM and your top M.2. And it's the world's first board that this all is detachable. So you can, of course, install your M.2 drive in there, but has all the water cooling slots. And one thing that Ryan might hate is that there's no USB-A's on this, which is pretty cool to see. I actually like it. I love USB Type-C devices.
Sure, I do too, but what are you plugging your keyboard into? I mean, I guess if you've got a keyboard that has a, you know, removable cable, you can swap it out with a C2C, but there's a lot of folks that have peripherals and stuff that are still Type-A. So you either got to hook up a hub to this or use the front panel connectors for your Type-A's.
Yeah, I still think it's, I will eventually get to this, right?
I'm sure, yeah, but I think it's going to be a while. We've
reviewed a couple like, boards lately that had like...
You got to reflash your BIOS, right? Or like update a BIOS off of a flash drive. I shouldn't ask you how many flash drives you have with Type-C. You got a million of them, I'm sure, right? Yeah, you got one sitting right there. And I've got a couple too, but a lot of folks don't.
I have another one. It's, boom. Got another one right here. So it's a Zotac one.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see if I'm wait.
Oh, gee, this guy's got too many drives.
Later. Oh wait, no, this one's not. I have the other Kingston one. This is a USB-A. I have another Kingston one that.
Well, if that's the only one you had, you wouldn't be able to flash your.
I don't have any. I don't have a whole lot of flash drives laying around because I usually use SSDs. And technically, this one from Patriot is an SSD. So, nice. Yeah. In any case, yeah. But no, it was really cool to see this board, just because like I've seen it in builds, and then, you know, when it first came out, it was like all type C's. So to see it in person, and I do think how, like, even compared to the 10th anniversary board, it is like the best looking board. Has the highest VRM out of all the Tai Chi Z890 boards as well. So it's really sick board. Really like that one. So that was cool to see. They also, and I saw ASRock starting to do this. So they have this B860 Challenger Wi-Fi motherboard. And typically when we see like a white version of a motherboard, it's its own board, right? It's its own board. It has its own feature set. But with like a handful of boards, not only on the Intel side, but also on the AMD side, like ASRock is just they have a B860 Challenger Wi-Fi and they have a B860 Challenger Wi-Fi White. They're the exact same board. So if you liked a specific board from ASRock, you can just get a white version, which I think is awesome. I don't know how many boards they're going to do this with, but there are a handful of boards already that allow you to just choose a white version if you want the white version, which I think is super cool. So got to see that. We got to see the whole lineup of their liquid CPU coolers, some of them which we already reviewed, and some of the more entry-level ones there as well. So that was pretty cool to see. And then there also was a Counter-Strike 2 tournament with a bunch of creators. I played. I got fourth place.
Nice. And I was playing out of against, how many? I'm just kidding.
What was it, like 10 or I don't know. Right. Or all 10 right. or 12. But one, I was playing against like young TikTok kids. So I feel like I did pretty good. And this kid right here was like a professional.
Oh, okay. Well, he won the tournament. Look at his keyboard layout.
Yeah, this kid was a professional and he won. Yeah. But I got fourth place, which I feel like I still got. Yeah, like I don't good. And I don't play Counter-Strike at all. I never played Counter-Strike 2 ever. So and we have a full gallery of the event, and like this, if you ever wanted to see like the new A Gamer Zone space, it's actually pretty cool. They have one of those Cooler Master what do you call that, but that was pretty cool, if you haven't seen one of those as well. And it's a really cool space. So shout out to ASRock for having us out there, and we'll have some more content coming out on social media from that event as well, so definitely stay tuned for that. But that was, like I said, that was definitely a lot of fun. Got to hang out with other creators and things like that. Moving to Case Mod Friday, of course, where we feature a build or mod in the community, and this week we have the Dark Matter build from Declassified Systems, and I think this one's really cool because it has the frosted tubing, but the coolant inside is black.
Black, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like the frosted.
Especially with the red. Yeah. It goes with the red. And I mean, maybe we've seen something like this as far as the color, like that color. But yeah, I think it works. Like typically you would see black, you know, on the motherboard and everything else with like the red, like instead of the red here, the coolant would be red.
Coolant would be red or something, yeah.
But I like this.
Yeah, and then it's got, three radiators on the back lined up. I mean, it looks good with the lighting off, too. Or change it up to, like, white or something. Yeah, it looks really good.
There's the three radiators on the back.
Yep. No, it looks good. I can't imagine how heavy this thing is. There's a huge distro plate, you know, that makes up that back tray. Yeah. But it's cool. I'd be nervous with how long some of those runs are. Like the top CPU all the way down to the bottom is one line, right? Like I mean, I know how these fittings are, and they're pretty snug, but I'd just be so worried.
Yeah.
You bump it wrong or something.
Yeah. I just like how, that frosted tubing with the black coolant just is something different.
Well, how the edges glow, you know what I mean? Like, cause there's no light coming through it, but there's the actual plastic that it can glow through. So I think that looks really cool how it's kind of outlined.
Yeah, and again, you can like play with the color, like you can change it around to whatever you kind of want to do with it, which I think is super cool. Yeah, I like that a lot. So shout out to, oh man, I like these, like, and even like with just like the light, like he's like, these are outside shots, like the you can kind of see like around the yeah, I really like that. So again, shout out to Declassified Systems for this one. Awesome build. Would you ever do like a distro case?
Nah, that's not my style.
You don't think? Nah. Not your style? Okay. Yeah. I think it'd be kind of cool. Would a distro case be easier for like a first time water cooling build?
I don't think so, no.
You don't think?
Okay. Unless you were doing like soft tubing, then yeah, maybe.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Because you gotta line everything up, you know.
That's true.
No thanks. True.
Well, we are still giving away a DDR5 memory kit. You know, the price of it's DDR5 like is still very high. So we're giving away a 32 gig kit of ADATA's XPG Lancer Blade memory. I actually have it here. I will be shipping it out in 11 days to the winner. Hopefully we get a winner.
Stay subscribed to the email, right?
Yeah, exactly. We currently have 11,000 entries, but definitely get your entry in. And then once you subscribe to the email newsletter, there are 24 different ways to enter, like to get more entries into the contest. So get all your entries in, because this is like gold right here, right now. So, and we're going to have more giveaways coming as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. And now we're moving on to news. And I saw this and I was like, this is kind of crazy. Yeah. So the NVIDIA N1, this is their own SoC for laptops. So it's their own chip for laptops, for gaming laptops, especially like lower power gaming laptops that wouldn't have a discrete GPU in them. It's only the SoC that's going to be running inside of this. And this picture surfaced of the SoC. And the board for the laptop, and it has 128 gigabytes of LPDDR5X memory on it.
Wild.
That's
so much for, like you've been saying, like an entry level, like low end board.
Well, these aren't meant to be entry level. This is just, it's more like not entry level. It's like more like thinner and lighter, because you don't have the because it's single SoC. So you don't have a discrete GPU here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a ton of... That's more than I got in my desktop sitting next to me.
Yeah, and the N1...
These are going to be powerhouses.
...is a 20-core ARM-based CPU with NVIDIA Blackwell GPU. And yeah, I mean... all that memory. Yeah, it should be interesting to see what comes out with this. I know this is going to be a big thing. I mean, if you think, you know, Intel and like sort of like Qualcomm with their SoCs when it comes to like these type of devices are typically the you know, those are the big players. So this could be another thing for NVIDIA to make a splash in. And it being an SoC makes it more affordable. So these could be quite affordable. And like, you know, you could get like, I don't know, like, good 1080p gaming on it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
you know,
I don't think they would release it if it didn't have pretty solid at least 1080p gaming.
Yeah, so
because people are going to associate that name with gaming, I think.
Yeah,
even if they're not a gamer, they're going to expect that it's going to be, you know, have some graphical power to it.
Yeah, because it has the Blackwell GPU on there, so. Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this shakes out with NVIDIA and in like, you know, who's making one of these, right? Like, you know, is there going to be an Asus ROG one? Is there going to be, you know, like an MSI gaming? Like, you know, who's all going to be on board for this first launch? And then what's the price point going to be? You know, again, because it's going to be cheaper because it's an SoC. So it'd be kind of cool. It'd be, you know, especially like we saw Apple come out with their entry level MacBook, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
This could be like, you know, probably a little bit step up from that, but yeah. Well, yeah. Like I said, be interesting to see. what happens with that. And we'll obviously keep you guys updated as more leaks do come out. We have Old Man in the chat stopping by like he does typically every week. I'd say like 52 weeks out of the year, he probably makes it to 50.
Yeah.
Quite yeah, a few. He's usually always in here. So good to see you in the live chat. So Intel Nova Lake S. Nova Lake S, meaning if you don't know, the dash S is for desktop, or you know, like the typical CPUs you think about. You know, so we have a leak on that. Up to 52 cores, new socket, shocker from Intel, right? Shocker. Another new socket. And DDR5 8000 support by default. So first, let's talk about the new socket. LGA 1954.
Okay.
They say that this, you know, they always say that it's going to have longevity, but it's like, you know, you go through and you're like, okay, well, you know, it's been like two generations and now we have a new socket. So we'll see about the longevity. But new socket means all new motherboards. So you're not going to be able to slot these into, you know, your current Intel motherboard. And as far as the rundown, Core Ultra 9 will have 16 P cores and 32 E cores plus 4 low power E cores. That's going to be 150 watt part. Core Ultra 7. 14 P cores, 24 E cores in 4 low power E cores, 150 watt. Core Ultra 5, 8 P cores, 16 E cores, 4 low power E cores. That's going to be 125 watts. And then you can go through and take a look at the rest of those. You know, we saw that suggestion or that story that Intel was going to go back to just a normal cores and not have the P cores or E cores. I guess at least for Nova Lake, that's not going to be true. And like they say 52 cores, like it's a big deal. Like
it's across multiple types of cores. Yeah. Right? You gotta keep that in mind. Yeah. I think maybe like the move away from the efficiency and performance cores maybe later on. Right. Like, cause we heard that news just a couple weeks ago. It feels like, and you know, these have already been in the works for quite a while, so maybe that's in the future.
Also, they're gonna have this BLLC cache, which is the big last level cache tech, basically to compete against AMD with their 3D V cache. So maybe we'll see gaming specific parts with this on it, or it's going to be on certain SKUs. So that's going to be a good thing. Again, to be more competitive against AMD, especially when it comes to gaming. And then as far as like the chipset and things like that, with a new socket comes a new chipset. DDR5 8000 memory by default, which is good. PCI Express 5.0, obviously, and then possibly Thunderbolt 5. Any thoughts on any of that?
I mean, Thunderbolt 5 is nice, but again, kind of going back to like that MSI or the ASRock motherboard with all Type C, like who needs like Thunderbolt 5 yet? It's a people. Pretty small market slice, you know what I mean? People, so they can say they got it, but like, I don't know, man. Like,
I feel like there are people that like really do make use of.
There absolutely are. I just don't think it's a very big market share.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But if we didn't progress and have these things on like new systems, we would never get any further. So you got to introduce it at some point. So.
I remember when like boards had like FireWire, and you're like, nobody's using this at all.
Yeah.
Like I never used my FireWire connection on any of my motherboards, I think, ever.
I still keep around my 4790K build because I have an add-in FireWire card because I might use it someday.
Yeah. Old Man said, hopefully the new Intel CPUs are priced competitively. Yeah, I think that's the thing they worked on with their Plus series that just came out, being pretty competitive price-wise. So we'll see how these new ones, you know, when they come out. This is only a leak, so we don't know when these will come out. But probably close to holiday season. It's the second half of 2026.
He also said new socket. I just bought an Intel Core Ultra 5 250K plus and motherboard. LOL. That's what you get. No, shame on you.
Yeah, well, that's really the thing is that, you know, longevity is a thing. Like, people want to maybe keep the same motherboard and like upgrade their CPU, or like, again, you know, longevity in the socket is.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, my current build, right? I had a 3800X and then upgraded it to a 5800X 3D, and it had a 2070 Super, and now it's got the 5080, right? The only thing I had to upgrade were those parts. Kept the motherboard, kept the RAM. So it's nice to be able to do those incremental updates, especially when prices are kind of wild on flash and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, talking about pricing. DDR5 memory has gone down 5%. DDR4.
Oh, okay.
Well, DDR4. Still. So if you're.
How much has it gone up? What? 2,200%.
Yeah, 2,200%.
But we got 5 back. Okay.
You got 5 back. So. So yeah, 5% decrease in price of a 16 gig DDR4 chip has gone down by 5%.
So how long will it take to go back down to normal? Like years at that rate?
Yeah, 2,200%. Yeah. These stories are kind of funny because you're just like...
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Well, we've seen it since the introduction of the 12 VHPWR power connection. And especially the 4090, the 5090, we've seen cards blow up, cards catch on fire, cables catch on fire, melting cables, everything. Well, ASUS wants to fix that. So ASUS has released their ROG equalizer, which is a new high-end 12V2X6 PCI Express power cable. It does have such, like, it is a nicer cable. So a standard 12V2X6 cable. The standard capacity is 9.2 amps per wire. This is 17 amps per wire that it can handle. It also has improved thermal performance. It actually maintains a lower operating temperature even under extreme load. It has load balancing built in. This will ship with ASUS's ROG Thor 3 and ROG Strix Platinum power supplies. And you should be able to buy it as a standalone as well. And if you look at like the temperatures, here's like the temperature in their extreme test. And like most cables will go well over like 110 here, and they're right in like the 70 range or the 90 range, which is definitely nice. And like I said, balance power delivery, things like that. Like, do you think that you would either, like, if you spent the money for like a 5090, would you, I assume you would spend the money for like a high end power supply that would have a cable like this?
Yeah, I think so. I think, it just makes sense. And
or at least
power supplies are cheap, but like,
or at least a like decent power supply, and then maybe buy this cable,
an aftermarket cable, just with this one. Yeah, I do like that it has that power detector plus, like with their software, has some integration with that as well, which is kind of nice. But yeah, this has just been kind of a long time coming, and we've seen other companies, you know, try and do stuff to mitigate that problem. I still think we need a connector that has some little screws, but I don't design these things.
Yeah. People are like, oh, the screws caused the shortage.
Yeah, it caused a short.
Yeah.
That'd be my luck.
I know, right? But yeah, it's nice to see that. And again, peace of mind for the customer. Like, I assume, again, if you're doing a new build and you're putting a 5090 in there, you're going to put a nice power supply. And it's nice this cable will come with two of the ASUS power supplies. So that's definitely nice there as well. Moving on to Microsoft, and what are they calling it? Microslop?
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it. They actually have removed Copilot from Notepad, the snipping tool, and other Windows 11 apps. because everybody was kind of pissed.
Nice.
So, like, here's a before and after. You would have the Copilot button and Notepad, and now it's gone. And again, like, it's gone in the options. And same thing with the snipping tool. It's gone in newer versions of Windows. So I like it.
That's the snipping tool?
Yeah.
Maybe I got an old version of snipping tool, but I'm running Windows 11.
When's the last time you updated Windows 11?
I don't know.
How many updates do you have?
I'm on 25H2.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyhow.
But in any case, I like that Microsoft is like listening, actually, you know, to the feedback, and they're like, yeah, what do you need Copilot and Notepad for?
Yeah, I don't. I did open Notepad, though. I have the Copilot version still. So.
Yeah, so this is in newer versions, or like a beta version, but it will be, you know, like, I like that they're listening and they've taken these AI features out. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely like that. So yeah, hopefully we see more of that and like more option to like take it out or turn it off, I think is the biggest thing for a lot of users. Like, we don't just want it there. Like, I want the option to be like
just gone,
or like I can just go into Windows and be like, I want no AI features at all. I want nothing.
Right. A slider. Just turn it off. Yep.
Yeah. Turn everything off. Old Man says his version of the snipping tool looks different also. Yeah. It might depend on your, and it also might depend on like, you can change the way it looks within Windows too. So keep that in mind. Okay. We always say getting a new GPU.
Yeah. Give me a game.
Getting a game is definitely a plus. And sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. Well, NVIDIA, for their RTX 50 series, they have given you Pragmata. Do you know anything about this game?
No, I read a review or a performance analysis that Tech PowerUp had done, and I just scrolled through the screenshots. I've kind of kept a little bit of like a visual eye on it. I don't know what it's about. Like, it reminds me kind of Death Stranding, right? Where
okay.
There's someone on the back, or like, I don't remember what the game was where it was like a horror game with a girl with black hair. This was like 10 plus years ago. Anyways, Fear, maybe? Is that right?
I don't know.
No. It looks really cool. Yeah. And it, like you said, it's nice to be able to get some games with a GPU or a compatible desktop or laptop, you know, purchase.
Yeah, so this includes 5070, 5070 Ti, 5080, 5090, desktop and laptop GPUs. And the promotion runs from April 14th to May 12th with redemptions until June 9th. The redemption process, super easy. You can do it through the NVIDIA app. And yeah, pretty simple to go ahead and do. So yeah, I like I said, getting a nice little add on there if you buy an RTX graphics card. So definitely.
I was going to say, it was the game Fear I was thinking.
And, okay.
And maybe it's like F.E.A.R. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But
It's came out in 2005. So it was 21 years ago. I'm like, oh, there's no way this came out more than 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
it does look like Resident Evil games, Old Man. I agree.
Yeah. One of the most popular games ever come out, it's been Fortnite, right? Epic Games. That's like their cash cow.
Yep.
Disney invested $1.5 billion in Epic Games, and it looks like some things are going to come out of that. One is possibly an extraction shooter.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be based on Disney characters. The game's supposed to be similar to Ark Raiders.
Okay.
It's supposed to come out in November, which is like not far away.
Yeah.
And this is the first of three games in this Disney Epic partnership.
Okay. I'll be interested to see.
Do you think you're going to see like Disney IP in the game?
Maybe. We've seen Disney owned properties in Fortnite, so
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like trying to think of what kind
of
game.
Or do you think it's going to be its own game?
I think, yeah. I think so. I think it'll be outside of Fortnite in general. It'll be a new game.
No, but what I mean is, do you think it will be its own, like, there's no Disney IP in it? Gotcha.
Maybe, but I mean, that's a lot of money to spend or to invest in a company and not, and have to gamble on a new property or a new IP when you've got this other library of characters that are loved and everything that you could like
tap how into. Can you and Disney owns Star Wars too, so like you have an extraction shooter
with Mickey Mouse running around,
or... well, not even Mickey Mouse, like you think of like what are the other Disney IPs,
like there's a lot.
But what am I going to run around as, like, the Beast from Beauty and the Beast? Or, like, I'm going to run around as Hook, like, from...
Well, I mean, maybe. And maybe shooter, like, isn't the right word. Like, think of it more like a Rivals, where they have abilities, not, like, necessarily using guns. And you're trying, you know, it's more like fantasy, like, who knows? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Well, like I said, it could be good, could be bad. But that's what's going to happen. And, again, this is one of three games that are supposed to come out under this new partnership. So yeah, it would be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, for sure.
On that,
yeah, for sure. Old man says Epic just fired over 1,000 Fortnite devs. Yes, they did just recently.
Oh really? I didn't see that. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was very crazy.
You know why? AI.
Monday. AI. Yeah, maybe
AI is doing all the code. Yeah. Finally, Valve might add, at least in the US, a 30-day price history feature. So you can see the price history of a game over time. Even though SteamDB does this, that's where this picture's from, is SteamDB. SteamDB does do this, but it might actually be built into Steam. Somebody found it in the code. So you would know if like you're browsing for a game, like this is the lowest price within X amount of days, things like that. This is already required in Europe because like EU laws. So yeah, it'd be good to see it in the US store. Like I don't understand why it's not part of it already. You know what I mean?
I mean, if Steam gets a cut of those sales, it doesn't make sense for them to tell you when it's at the cheapest, right? They want to sell it to you when it's the highest.
That's why Gabe bought that super yacht. That makes sense.
Right. He didn't get all that money by selling you cheap games or letting you buy them on sale.
That's true. So, but that wraps it up for news this week. Coming up next week, I'll be doing a nice little comparison of the Intel Core Ultra 7 270K Plus and the Core Ultra 5 250K Plus. So old man said, what did he get?
The 250K Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll be testing that on both of those on an ASRock motherboard.
Cool.
Wait, is this?
That was a deal he got.
CPU, ASRock B860 Rock motherboard, and Rosewell 750 watt bronze. That's for $300.
That's a great deal. Yeah.
That's a great deal. Old man always gets these deals. He finds the best deals. He could like run his own like resale store because he finds all the deals, and then he could just resell everything. I feel like that's kind of what he does. So, is there anything else tech that you wanted to talk about, Ryan?
No, I mean, like we mentioned, we got some more AIOs. I think I have 1, 2, 3 lined up here and a keyboard. So more coolers on the way, and no. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a question of the week, and then I got it. I was like, I won't add it to the notes, so I'll catch Ryan.
And then you forgot it.
And then I forgot what the question of the week was going to be.
You were going to talk about something earlier, but maybe we talked about it. We were just about to talk about it before the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was about the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know. No, I don't have anything for you. What was I? I had something that I know wasn't on there, but now I don't remember what it was either. So
this is old age. We're just forgetting everything.
I was like, oh, we don't have a story about this, but.
Well, I will not be gaming this week. Orion, are you going to play some games or?
No, I'm probably going to work on some other stuff.
Yeah, we're both busy trying to get some things done. So no gaming stream this week. But yeah, definitely stay tuned next week because we will be back with another podcast. So thanks for Old Man, of course, always in the chat, in A Turbo, who was in the live chat as well. And of course, everybody that listens later. And we will see you guys next week.